Blog Talk Radio.
I've traveled so far, couldn't tell you how far. Children, though I have been a million places at once. Many lives I have lived, many battles I fought and lost.
Mass shooters, black rulers, what's up to you, half truthers, Hotep Luya, that's humor, I'm past the rumors, I'm past the human, the body is trash, a bad computer, a ghost with massive tumors, can't threaten a nigga like me with death, I'd be glad to do it, and sprinkle my ashes on my mad computer, and rap into it, while blast the future, and say that's the future, that's the future. The year is 5,625. Niggas is clapping and stomping in church, waiting for Jesus to come back alive. Niggas is still waiting on E.T. to come out the sky. Stop all the crime. Mentally ill and out of their mind. Niggas still waiting for Flint to get some supplies. Niggas is still like, damn, I was just talking to so-and-so the other day. How did they die? Why? Niggas is still waiting for politicians to admit that they lied. Since we all comrades, let them niggas street locked up in them contracts. You accepted as generous, just cause the man let his boot off your neck just a little bit.
That shit.
If that shit was threatening, you wouldn't know that it did exist.
They
would've hid that shit from you like all of your history. They brought Bill Nye back from the dead just to get at me. They sent so many agents my way, I could start an agency. It's all about branding, feel like a fraternity. Niggas wanna brand me, niggas want Grammys, niggas want families. Niggas think I'm crazy, I don't want a damn thing. Where the fuck's the manual? They can't understand me. All this shit must go, all this shit is trash, there is not a plan B. Way too hard to let go, where we gon' end up, where we all landing. This is just a shit show, this is just a sick goal, I am only passion.
You are nearly conscious.
I've traveled so far, couldn't tell you how far.
All right, guys, royalty. I thought a song was going to come on, but I'm sorry, y'all. I was in the background speaking to my good brother, and we was talking about the sages and maidens and these bloodlines, y'all. You know what I'm saying? So great conversation. Hope you guys are doing well, guys. Peace on to you. Today we are going to be talking about altars, you know, altars, why altars are so important. We're going to talk about altars, guys. I'm going to go ahead and bring a music and clip for you guys as we normally do, but I didn't want that long pause of silence. Eternal, I feel, will meet maybe with us today, guys. Okay, my password. Hold on. I'm trying to log. Hold on, y'all. I'm trying to log into my fucking studio. What I have noted also. Okay, wait a minute. these systems are falling on many different levels because so much shit is happening. All right. There we go. Okay, so let's go ahead and find a song for you guys. You know what? I'm going to do this. We'll be back, guys.
The second agreement. Don't take anything personally. The second agreement is don't take anything personally. Whatever happens around you, don't take it personally. Using an earlier example, if I see you on the street and I say, hey, you are so stupid, without knowing you, it's not about you, it's about me. If you take it personally, then perhaps you believe you're stupid. Maybe you think to yourself, how does he know? Is he clairvoyant? Or can everybody see how stupid I am? You take it personally because you agree with whatever was said. As soon as you agree, the poison goes through you, and you are trapped in the dream of hell. What causes you to be trapped is what we call personal importance. Personal importance, or taking things personally, is the maximum expression of selfishness because we make the assumption that everything is about me. During the period of our education or our domestication, we learn to take everything personally. We think we are responsible for everything. Me, me, always me. Nothing other people do is because of you. It is because of themselves. All people live in their own dream, in their own mind. They are in a completely different world from the one we live in. When we take something personally, we make the assumption that they know what is in our world, and we try to impose our world on their world. Even when a situation seems so personal, even if others insult you directly, it has nothing to do with you. What they say, what they do, and the opinions they give are according to the agreements they have in their own minds. Their point of view comes from all the programming they received during domestication. If someone gives you an opinion and says, hey, you look so fat, don't take it personally, because the truth is that this person is dealing with his or her own feelings, beliefs, and opinions. That person tried to send poison to you, and if you take it personally, then you take that poison, and it becomes yours. Taking things personally makes you easy prey for these predators, the black magicians. They can hook you easily with one little opinion and feed you whatever poison they want, and because you take it personally, you eat it up. You eat all their emotional garbage, and now it becomes your garbage. But if you do not take things personally, you are immune in the middle of hell. Immunity to poison in the middle of hell is the gift of this agreement. When you take things personally, you feel offended, and your reaction is to defend your beliefs and create conflicts. You make something big out of something so little because you have the need to be right and make everybody else wrong. You also try hard to be right by giving them your own opinions. In the same way, whatever you feel and do is just a projection of your own personal dream, a reflection of your own agreements. What you say, what you do, what you think or feel, and the opinions you have are according to the agreements you have made. And these opinions have nothing to do with me. It is the way you see the world. It is nothing personal, because you are dealing with yourself, not with me. Others are going to have their own opinion according to their belief system. So nothing they think about me is really about me, but it is about them. You may even tell me, hey, what you're saying is hurting me. But it is not what I am saying that is hurting you. It is that you have wounds that I touch by what I have said. You are hurting yourself. There is no way that I can take this personally. Not because I don't believe in you or don't trust you, but because I know that you see the world with different eyes, with your eyes. You create an entire picture or movie in your mind, and in that picture, you are the director. You are the producer. You are the main actor or actress. Everyone else is a secondary actor or actress. It is your movie. The way you see that movie is according to the agreements you have made with life. Your point of view is something personal to you. It is no one's truth but yours. Then if you get mad at me, I know you are dealing with yourself. I am the excuse for you to get mad. And you get mad because you are afraid. Because you are dealing with fear. If you're not afraid, there is no way you will get mad at me or hate me. If you're not afraid, there's no way you'll be jealous or sad. If you live without fear, if you love, there is no place for any of those emotions. If you don't feel any of those emotions, it is logical that you will feel good. When you feel good, everything around you is good. When everything around you is great, everything makes you happy. You're loving everything that's around you because you're loving yourself. You're happy with the movie that you're producing. Happy with your agreements with life. You're at peace, and you live in that state of bliss where everything is wonderful and everything is beautiful. In that state of bliss, you are making love all the time with everything that you perceive. Whatever people do, feel, think, or say, don't take it personally. If they tell you how wonderful you are, they're not saying that because of you. You know you're wonderful. It is not necessary to believe other people who tell you that you're wonderful. Don't take anything personally. Even if someone got a gun and shot you in the head, it was nothing personal. Even at that extreme. Even the opinions you have about yourself are not necessarily true. Therefore, you don't need to take whatever you hear in your own mind personally. The mind has the ability to talk to itself. But it also has the ability to hear information that is available from other realms. Sometimes you hear a voice in your mind and you may wonder where it came from. The mind lives in more than one dimension. There may be times when you have ideas that don't originate in your mind, but you're perceiving them with your mind. You have the right to believe or not believe these voices, and the right not to take what they say personally. You have a choice, just as you have a choice of what to believe and agree with in the dream of the planet. The mind can also talk and listen to itself. Part of the mind is speaking and the other part is listening. It is a big problem when so many parts of your mind are all speaking at the same time. Each one has different thoughts and feelings. Each one has a different point of view. The programming in the mind, all of those agreements we have made, are not necessarily compatible with each other. Every agreement is like a separate living being with its own personality. All these little living beings create inner conflict because they're alive and they each have a voice. There are conflicting agreements that go against other agreements, and on until it becomes a big war in the mind. The mitote is the reason humans hardly know what they want, how they want it, or when they want it. They don't agree with themselves because there are parts of the mind that want one thing and other parts that want exactly the opposite. Only by making an inventory of our agreements will we uncover all of the conflicts in the mind and eventually make order out of the chaos of the mitote. Don't take anything personally, because by taking things personally, you set yourself up to suffer for nothing. Humans are addicted to suffering at different levels and to different degrees, and we support each other in maintaining these addictions. Humans agree to help each other suffer. If you have the need to be abused, you'll find it easy to be abused by others. Likewise, if you're with people who need to suffer, something in you makes you abuse them. It is as if they have a note on their back that says, "Please kick me." They are asking for justification for their suffering. Their addiction to suffering is nothing but an agreement that is reinforced every day. Wherever you go, you will find people lying to you. And as your awareness grows, you'll notice that you also lie to yourself. Do not expect people to tell you the truth, because they also lie to themselves. You have to trust yourself and choose to believe or not to believe what someone says to you. When we really see other people as they are, without taking it personally, we can never be hurt by what they say or do. Even if others lie to you, it's okay. They're lying to you because they're afraid. They're afraid you will discover that they are not perfect. It is painful to take off that social mask. If others say one thing but do another, you're lying to yourself if you don't listen to their actions. But if you're truthful with yourself, you'll save yourself a lot of emotional pain. Telling yourself the truth about it may hurt, but you don't need to be attached to the pain. If someone is not treating you with love and respect, it is a gift if they walk away from you. If that person doesn't walk away, you will surely endure many years of suffering. Walking away may hurt for a while, but your heart will eventually heal. Then you can choose what you really want. You'll find that you don't need to trust others as much as you need to trust yourself to make the right choices. When you make it a strong habit not to take anything personally, you avoid many upsets in your life. Your anger, jealousy, and envy will disappear, and even your sadness will simply disappear if you don't take things personally. If you can make this second agreement a habit, you'll find that nothing can put you back into hell. There is a huge amount of freedom that comes to you when you take nothing personally. You become immune to black magicians, and no spell can affect you regardless of how strong it may be. The whole world can gossip about you, and if you don't take it personally, you are immune. Someone can intentionally send emotional poison, and if you don't take it personally, you will not eat it. When you don't take the emotional poison, it becomes even worse in the sender, but not in you. You can see how important this agreement is. Taking nothing personally helps you to break many habits and routines that trap you in the dream of hell and cause needless suffering. Just by practicing this second agreement, you begin to break dozens of teeny tiny agreements that cause you to suffer. And if you practice the first two agreements, you will break 75% of the teeny tiny agreements that keep you trapped in hell. Write this agreement on paper and put it on your refrigerator to remind you all the time. Don't take anything personally. As you make a habit of not taking anything personally, you won't need to place your trust in what others do or say. You will only need to trust yourself to make responsible choices. You are never responsible for the actions of others. You are only responsible for you. When you truly understand this and refuse to take things personally, you can hardly be hurt by the careless comments or actions of others. If you keep this agreement, you can travel around the world with your heart completely open and no one can hurt you. You can say, "I love you," without fear of being ridiculed or rejected. You can ask for what you need. You can say yes, or you can say no. Whatever you choose, without guilt or self-judgment. You can choose to follow your heart always. Then you can be in the middle of hell and still experience inner peace and happiness. You can stay in your state of bliss, and hell will not affect you at all.
on the oceans and upon our seas, fish full of mercury. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to do. Radiation underground and in the sky, animals and birds who live nearby are alive. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more do you from men? Can't you stand?
All right, guys, I apologize about that, you guys, but literally my phone went dead right when the song ended, and my phone went dead. Luckily, I have a second phone. I had to get it together. We're going to keep going, y'all. Eternal, I had unmuted you because I still had the internet up, but I couldn't speak, you know what I'm saying? So I couldn't play another song until I dialed in for the studio. Anyway, guys, we're talking about altars today, all right? We're talking about altars today. I gave you the first agreement. I hope you guys can hear me. Eternal, can you hear me? Eternal, you're unmuted. All right, it's still kind of early in the show, guys, so.
Okay, I'm here. Please,
Okay. All right, guys. All right. Peace on to you. Today's my dad's birthday, so I'm out running around and trying to get his phone fixed and shit. So, nothing is going to stop this, what we got going on. So there is an hour clip that I wanted to play about altars, but I won't be home in the next 10 minutes. So we kind of doing it differently, you know. We're doing it divinely, you know what I'm saying? So, why don't you just go ahead and, like, tell us about altars. You know, what are altars? Why are altars so important in this sense. So yeah, altars. That's what we're talking about today. Peace unto you, Eternal. All right, so maybe Eternal is not ready to speak on altars yet. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead.
Apologize. I didn't know you was talking to me. What did you say?
Oh, yeah. I was talking about altars. You know, I was saying I'm a little, I'm not in a consistent place to where, you know, everything is going how I want it to go today. So I'm kind of doing everything a little differently. So we're actually, there's a clip that I want to play, but I won't be home in the next 10 minutes. So if you're able to speak now, if not, I can find a clip.
I'm able to speak. We were just talking about that. I had a sister in here. Well, first of all, how are you doing today, brother?
I am, how am I today? I am determined today. I mean, I'm always eternal. No matter what life throws at me, I'm always driven. So that's
take
why
that
I'm here today. I'm in another one of those states. Everything is everything, brother. I'm just determined to get what needs to be done.
There you go. Ha-me-ha-me-ha. It's like somebody throwing it at you, and you like catch it, and you make a little spirit ball, and then you be like, choom, throw it right back out. Yeah, that's how it is. That's it. That's it right there. Like, I get the same thing I want to preach out. It's like I reach out.
Yeah.
And we were just talking to the sister just a second ago. She wanted to do an altar. Well, she's just starting the altar right now, so there's a purpose right now behind us. Okay. She was talking about how to get in tune with her, you know, her connection. And that's what we got to do. We got to start making the focus being the game of how you're focusing, you know, your strength. Changing your curves from your lines. You know, the woman is the feminine energy that gives us waves. So as a man, we give a sign that goes straight. So it's basically how the energy works. Brother Rod Hayes spoke it really eloquently about how women has like basically the 90% power. Man has 10%. And the way that works is even if it was what, you know, a sensual pleasure, you find out that she can make a wave of things happen and also a tidal wave, you know, against you just as much as working for you. So a hurricane. And so that's the hurry and the cane. You know, and you think about the words, slow it down, you know, and then rebuild it back up. And you see how, like we seesaw, we can seesaw it, cut it out, or we seesaw balance it. And this is where the four, fire, earth, air, and rain, the elements start to work for you, materialize it, spiritualize it, physicalize it. And then, of course, when you mentalize it, there's an etheric wave that is being played for us. So that's why the four, the five is the spirit. Life shows us light on the spirit plane, and that's the low key. The first low key that you have is basically on a three base law, land, air, and water. We call law, land, air, and water a basic principle. However, law, land, air, and water has a fire that might be missing, so we'll call it flaws if we don't see it. The flaws become the pause, like you stop, but yet you pause, you don't stop, because, you know, anything that stops, it dies off. So the whole idea is that during our pause moment, we have to have something that gives us projection. So this is where the mirror or the Myra, you know, say admirer or admiral, these are words that are still familiar to the Ra energy. Ra and Ray energy happens to be the feminine, the masculine as a principle, not just a gender. So when we go into gender, it kind of like wants to dominate the energy. And that's where, like, if you watch this movie called Moon Knight, it shows how we have, like, one side can be the destructive side, get rid of, you know, and then the other side is like, wait, let's talk, let's reason, let's see how it works. You know, don't get rid of it yet, you know. And so you have a two-side being, you know, and that's going to be your masculine and your feminine. And so as a principle, Moon Knight is representing the silver lining. And so you have a silver lining or a silver string, and that's what got changed to call gray, like Jean Gray. Jean Gray is that explanation to the phoenix, your bird sun in your body. So everyone has a sun. A solar sun is the solo sun if you don't have it right. So now it's the wolf. The lowest part of it would be fox. Yet the fox isn't as bad as you think. It's better than the jackal. The jackal represents the jack of all trades. So now master of none, the jack ends up being the one who can jack up people. This is where Peter, Jack, all this, the names of St. Nicholas come into, why is it references to keep us in this concept? Well, it's a constellation. Each one of us has a constellational energy that we ride off of. And once we know it better, just like how I'm speaking, this is a trajectory. I'm not speaking through me. I'm speaking through a trajectory of me. And this is how the collective all has that same aspect to go through once they find the chambers in their body. They have to go through their toes. They go through their ankles. They have to go through their kneecaps, through their hips, the femoris area, because that's the femur. And then you also have, especially when you use these words, words are only words, they're meanings and interpretations. So if you look at it deeper, why I say femur instead of leg, you'll get familiar with the anatomy speaking of the conversation. So now if you go like, let me look it up what he just said, you know what I mean? Versus saying, I don't like how he said that. Look at the way we can interject a better or a more grasp understanding that we call profound truth. You know what I'm saying? And it becomes a point where your emotion is not driven by the truth. You know what I'm saying? Your feelings are known by it, but your emotions are not driven by it. And so that's how the magic can work in your benefit, as what we call magi versus magic. When it's the ick sound, it's more like how the sonic is like an echo. And so the echo can be played as a ko versus a ka energy. When you know ko, you're basically saying K-O, like you knocked out. And so you want a ka energy. So anything that comes like automatic ka energy, ka or ka energy is the key. Ka, ki, and K-I has been written. So now chi, C-H-I, is still the moment of having breath. Your holy breath comes from the mountain and the Moses going up the mountain. What he basically did was to meditate. So sitting in a medium, right, that's like in the middle of the body, learning the ups and downs. Like you might have to, like me and the sister of mine, we were talking, and, you know, I've been connecting to her better because she's like one of the sisters I used to deal with in a sensual way. And it was better to learn her that way versus how most people say sexual way. Because usually when you're saying that you was with someone, you want to call them your ex. However, that's still known as the unknown. That's still known as X marks the spot. That's still known as a mark. So when we use the word mark, it's just like tattoo. But a tattoo is ta and two. So you're making a taboo to yourself when you're saying these things. It's a point of saying interaction with this being that made you or both of y'all had to see an experience through each other. And because of that communication was the part that was needed and necessary. Not that you felt like you would never do that again with that being and blah, blah, blah. That's like saying you didn't learn what was needed amongst both of y'all. Like there's always a better out of the negative. Even if you thought negative, there's still positive. So to look at it as a tattoo or a mark or an X, that's where they'll start the, you know, mirror of their woman or the woman they've been with or the man they've been with. So it's really to get out of the vortex conversations we're putting on ourselves. We're, since already photographic people, we say graphical words towards each other. And then we'll start to consummate it with other people. So now it's a constipation to other people when they start to hear it. And now you're in a constipation concentration. The whole idea is to get out of that. So what we want to do is, if we had an interaction with someone, you're learning a point of why y'all had that moment together. Like, you might have to look at each other's numbers. You might have to look at the birthday, the time y'all got, the amount of time y'all put into each other, the time of separation before y'all got back together, what changed before that happened, things like that. Well, anyway, I was speaking to the sensual sister that I've been with, you know, and learning my sensual side helped me now learn the better parts of me as a man. Now, because I don't know it as a man, being that I'm a man, I have to learn from woman what woman has that man doesn't have. And that explains more of your sensual side. Like men, all men don't know their sensual side until they learn, you know, does a woman having a baby? Did the baby make it? Did the baby not make it? You know what I mean? Things like that. And it goes deeper than that. You know what I'm saying? And it can go as simple as how do you fix somebody's hair? You know what I'm saying? When you fix somebody's hair, peace, brother. Respect. How someone fixed their hair. Would you take the time to fix your woman's hair? You know what I mean? Like, let's say you did locks. I mean, she did her, she wanted her locks in her hair. Would you actually take the time to learn how to do her locks? Or it was hair braiding. Would you take the time to learn with her? Like, learning that helps us get to this point where why are we even having an altar? The altar is to alternate yourself. Not to say that the alternate is to mess up your alternatives. It's to make a better alternative towards you and the environment that you're in. So we call this feng shui. The Tao, T-A-O, look that up. It basically is the way that you can learn other ways. So tantra, those things like that, those are the levels of what we call Merkaba in the Kemetics conversation. It's what is not only helpful, it's also protective. So there's like what we look at a benefit from is lower point and its higher point. And the midpoint would be just in thought of if you felt like you was negative. If you start to feel like you were negative, go ahead and sit over there near your Gohanzen or your altar.
Internal.
And then, you know, meditate on it. Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead in the altar and meditate. I'm fine.
Right. Yeah, so if you're sitting at the altar, it's like what most people end up finding out. If you even check the Asians, sometimes you'll check them. They'll have a picture, and it'll be like, you know, they'll have their mother or their father or their sensei. The sensei known as like their master, the teacher. And they'll have a light incense, and they'll put the incense in front of the actual picture. And then they'll start doing some type of chant. The chant is what we know as mantras or mudras. And if you speak of mudharas, and the mudharas is for your root chakra. How do you open up the root chakra while you're still in front of that gohana? Because, you know, let's just take it for what it is. A lot of our attention span is kind of short. And because of what we eat and things like that, it gets shorter. So now is how much do we fast in order to sit in front of the Gohanzen or sit in front of the altar and then do some type of chant. Now, the best thing you can do right now is find an altar that if you want like something on a high level, look at it from four levels up, you know, because just like you think of with the Tekken or the Tekkenu or the obelisk, they're all the same. That's like an altar that most people can talk to or
basic.
Tone in with. It's a tuning fork. So if you go in front of it and like do some chants, your intermissions are like how ET phone home. So you're basically making a mirror. The mirror is where you make the conversational piece to the ancestors. So when it said a silver lining like moonlight, the whole idea of the silver is just like a mirror. You think about a mirror is like water. And if you look at Miyodo Omo, he was a scientist of the water, and he basically said in his theories, they had it in New York for a minute. They had a lot of pictures in the subway, and it would show you the molecular structure change, and it's the hexagram. This is where we get sacred gematria. The change of the structure changed for a better enlightenment in the water. And so if he said, I love you, in at the water for maybe like six times, the water structure changed. And so this is just like how you get in sunlight, all right? So you in the sunlight. Now, altar could be really a landscape. You just over actually a scenery, right? And so now you're like sitting in front, let's say you're on a mountain. You're on a mountain or just near some water, and the water is streaming. Because the water is streaming and flowing, it helps your transfer go faster, right? And if, let's say, you just got nothing but pure sunlight hitting you, that also helps with that. So now, let's say you're out there for 8 minutes. 8 minutes it takes for you to travel towards the sun. I know most people think the sun travels towards you, but you're traveling towards the sun. Might not have known that, yet it's known to you how when things get closer, doesn't it change in its appearance? Or when the heat feels hot at one point, but then all of a sudden it gets hotter, and then all of a sudden it starts to cool off. You're like, what the freak happened? We need to take the jacket off? Yeah, it's weird. So you're actually going to a travel mode without you noticing yourself you're traveling. And that's why we can end up playing a trick on ourselves. Like, you get near the water, and once it goes near you and you're just sitting there, if you just look at that sand as it's going back and forth, you notice how it looks like when it's going back, like you're moving forward. And you're actually in movement. That's what kind of tricks us up, because you're like, what is happening? So you're actually learning how alchemists work. When you're talking into the mirror, is the altar. When you're talking in front of the landscape, or when you make an altar that has at least four levels. Now, what I meant by the four levels is you could put stuff like, let's say you got drawers. Just empty the drawers out. Don't have anything in there. And then put stuff in each one that gives you your enlightenment. First level, second level, third level, fourth level. Let's say first level, I want my root. So I'm gonna probably deal with earth, you know what I mean, since I'm on the earth. And then my second level. And you can mix it up how you want it. It's really your thoughts for the altar. Now, what you can put on the top, this becomes, you know, like when you want to do the Ortis or the Orishas, the Yoruba side to it, I would say you might want to get to people who are more acclimated in that to start getting that kind of idea. Because it comes to where you could be putting fruit and vegetables and, you know what I mean, you could be putting sweets, cigar. It's a lot when it comes down to what way you want to have that frequency to come at you, because there are colors that do help you. And there's 7 days, like you got 7 days of so-called week. I'm going to call it the seven strength shining or creation. You got seven frequencies that you can really basically master up. And you do this, let's say for 13, let's say in a 13-week aspect. In that 13-week aspect, it wouldn't be how they're doing it. So you're really altering yourself while all these other things are doing. So you're really putting a big protective shield, not only over you, over your environment that you're in. And that's what was missing when it came down to Christianity. And I'm not saying nothing wrong with Christianity for those who are in Christianity. I'm just saying that there was a moment where the water became Kool-Aid, and we have to know the difference between the two. And once that got changed, this is how the voodoo became a bad thing, and which really is the odoo. And when you think voodoo, voodoo comes from the French. That's why the French, or Frank, known as French, came up with that domination. Frank is Frankenstein. So it's still what I was saying to the sister earlier. A lot of the things became German and Germanic, a germ to us. And so we got to know the infestation. We can't sit at the same table and eat the same foods. We already know this story. So if it's more about it, it's saying when we said the word know thyself, it was really man know thyself. Now, if we know that it says man know thyself, we would know that woman gave the man this, hey, know thyself. And then it says, after that, of the universe and of the God. Of the universe and of the God, not just God, but of the God. So there might be multiples of these God concepts that we're speaking of. When we think of perception, it really gives us a better way of understanding versus just understanding. Because you underestimate, you can be in an understanding of under thoughts. And so that's why it's a point to where you have three hearts and not one. One is in your head, one is in your heart, and one is in your hips. And so when you sit at the altar, you're basically aligning all three of those back up, your mental, your physical, and your spiritual. Once you're in your erect building, the light up. That's why the beacon of light is like a high, and a low energy, but it's a halo around the head. It's that the rays or the arrows. This is where Sagittarius, you know, he shoots the arrow. That's why the hips can be known as his lowest spot, but yet it has a high zone. That's why it's in the heart. You know, you shoot that actual arrow in the heart, right? But that's not in the heart. That's actually in the hips. That heart is of the hips. So now you got two hearts put together and not thinking what the third heart, and the third heart will be in your head. If you know that we're in a mixture of what the heart looks like a teardrop. It don't look like one of those hearts. Like it's a heart divider or the heart that's been bent, folded. You know how you make a heart? You got to fold it first, cut it out, and then you unfold it. And then you say, oh, there's the heart. Because it's two hearts, not one. And that's why we got projected in seeing dual and duators. When your altar is for your dual, right, energy, yet you got to know how to use it on a three point.
Eternal.
Yes.
Eternal. I want to say to you also, the clip that we have is 1 hour and 19 minutes. So after you're explaining, can you like do a pause so we can insert the clip also?
Yeah, I just saw you say it. That's why I paused.
Okay, my bad. All right, so let me go ahead and do this, guys, because again, I know that we didn't get started in the normal order. And but I hope you guys are following along with the altar, guys. Just before we go into the clip, just guys, I think that it's important. I'm going to give you a book so that you can study, and also this clip should help you guys. Anybody that's basic coming in, and you know, you can start out very small. You know, I got like a little table with a white cloth, and as far as altars, I didn't go by any rules, you know what I'm saying? I just pretty much just did it how I did it, and I kind of learned as I go, you know what I'm saying? But let's go ahead and put the clip in, and after the clip, where's my fucking phone? After the clip, guys, we are going to, yeah, okay, here it is. After the clip, guys, we're going to be back and discuss. That'll leave us about an hour to discuss, but Bobby Hemmett is not going to only explain altars, but he is going to explain some other things when it comes to spirituality. So, all right, guys, here it is.
More videos like this, make sure you subscribe to www.blackeducationnetwork.com. Like, share, and subscribe. That's your Federal TV. Black it.
This is one from South Carolina. It works. Let me give you the story. I had a friend. I got a cousin. Robert, and man, who was up in New York in 1970, you should see his wife. His wife was so fine, and so women would look and say, damn, that's a fine-ass woman. He had just got married, but now, he went to look off one time and got this other something, laid with her, and then he could not touch his wife no more. Couldn't touch him. You see what I'm saying? And he couldn't figure out what it was. Okay, 40 minutes. Okay, good. We're going to go into the question and answer after this. He couldn't figure out what it was. Couldn't figure out what it was. They're going to put us out the mall? Oh, okay. Well, shoot, man. I'm going to shove another one on up in there. Hey, get your money's worth, man. Shoot. You paying the most money I ever made to do this here, so at 3 o'clock if you want to. Now. He couldn't justify it, and so he was just crazy about this woman. He just had to be with this woman and desire this doggone woman, this other woman. And so he got a new guy up in the woman's house and stuff. He up there, so he up there cleaning up her house. And he went in a little pantry with him, all the little grits and stuff like that. And he went in there and he hit one of the barrels to have all that rice in, and this bottle fell, this jar fell off the doggone shelf and broke. And when she walked in the door, he didn't desire no more. She looked and she said, you fuck with my shit. You like what you talking about? She said, you fuck with my shit. And he said, oh, now I get it. And basically what you do is you, whenever you have sex with a brother, you take a diss rag. Gotta be a dish. I don't know why. It's See, the Africans had all kind of advanced shit they used to do. Take a dish rag and you wipe the crumb off with, and you take it and you tie it in a knot and put it in a damn jar. You got it. A mason jar, you know. The one you put them peaches in. Huh? Brother, you in bad shape if you can't get no woman.
Hell. Yeah.
For a brother out here to be damn old crash. It ain't about me. You so bad in New York. They be like, you know, if in New York it ain't about no money, well, they be like, we just want a brother who ain't crazy. You see, in New York, you so bad in New York, they be like, we just want a motherfucker who just ain't crazy. That's it. He can have a club foot as long as he's all right. He ain't crazy. And as long as Jimmy ain't club, homeboy might be good to go. Well, that's the least of your problems, man. Come on. Least of your problems. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm 38 and overweight. And the word got out about a month ago, that I was single. And they coming out the woodwork. But I told them I ain't got nothing but some sex and some buffalo wings. And I'm fresh out of buffalo wings. God damn it, you better come bear some gifts. You better not have your hand out. Because I'm fresh out of buffalo wings because I can't afford no buffalo wings. So, you got to, all I got is some love. I don't know how long that'll last, but I talk all night. I can afford some Manischewitz conversation. Be good to go. So, you know, so yeah. Now, that's what you do. Now, let's see what else. Huh? The miserable thing what you do is this here. The miserable thing is to get what you want, and get what your man wants so he can benefit off this shit. See, even when he got the period, he can go and benefit off the thing. Because, you know, most women have cycles, too. You know what a nigga did on his cycle. You didn't know that shit, did you? Men have cycles, too. Yeah. Damn right. Men have cycles. So, and they might coincide with yours. But anyway, so the man can benefit off this. What you do is that you wear all red undergarments. All red. Red underwear, red bra, under anything you get on while you have your period on. Then you get you a piece of paper and write on red ink. What you want. So get two pieces of paper and you're going to write identical on both pieces of paper. Now sign it. No, the ink has to be red. You sign at the top of the paper, sex message. S-E-K-M-E-T, sex message. The goddess whose color is red. Sex message. Or second, S-E-K-E-T. Same thing. Segment or second. You sign on the top of each page. You get you a red 7-day candle. You take one piece of the paper that you signed, whatever you wanted, put it down on the altar or on the mantle, and you take the red candle and you light it and you put it on top of that paper. Then the other piece of paper, you take it or what you wanted and you burn it with that candle. You burn it with that candle and burn it up with that red ink on both of them. So practice on it, because both of those, you got to say both things on each piece of paper with the red ink. And you wear them undergarments that day. Sentiment. Yeah. Both papers identical got to have the same thing. One you got to burn, and one you got to put up on it. Now, this is the one for big money. This is the one for big money. Big money. The other one just gets you back. That's interesting because my brother down in Trenton, I told him that, and the brother owns the place in Trenton, New Jersey. And I told him, he did this, the one on the four corners, the four pennies. And he went outside, and damn money is rolling up the street. And he thought it was this woman in this, little boy law, so he picked up all the money and gave it to the girl. And she said, was that your money you lost? And she said, no. We didn't lose no money. And the money just was rolling up the damn street to him, and he didn't pick up on it and gave it. Now, this one's for big money. Big money. Now, this one comes from Haiti. Here it is again. It's Erzuli. E-R-Z-U-L-I-E. Erzuli. That's ISIS in Tennis, Oshun in Yoruba Land in Nigeria. Erzuli. Now, big money. What? How I was able to get this one was somebody will go over to Haiti, go get this ritual. They'll come back up to Philadelphia, New York. This is Philadelphia, and they'll have a ritual party. They invite everybody to come to the party. Charge $100 a year, and they have all these food and stuff. And after the end of the party, they give out this major ritual that they had to go to Haiti to get. You see what I'm saying? So the day the girl went to the party and paid the $100, she called me on the phone. She gave it to me for free. That's the benefit of being a lecturer. So I give it to you for free. Now, this one, you need two pieces of parchment paper. All right. No, I'm sorry. One pink 7-day candle. Two pieces of parchment paper. That's the sheepskin paper. You can get it at any office place where they have they do some stationery and stuff. Parchment paper. Staple set. Two pieces of parchment paper. One pink candle, 7 days. One white plate. No fuck around, no chain it, no paper shit. A white porcelain, a white plate. No plastic, make sure it's a plate. All white. A white plate, all white. A white paper bag, not a plastic bag, a white paper bag. And a piece of string. You're going to write identity. You're going to write on the top of each of the paper, or Zuli on the top of each page. And you're going to write identically what you want financially, making that those two papers identical. Going to take one of the pages, going to write what you want on both pieces of paper. Practice on it. Write what you want on both pieces of paper identical. You don't have to get ready to use black ink. Think Erzuli at the top. You're going to take one of the pages, and you're going to put on the white tape plate, and you're going to pour honey on top of it. On the paper. On the table with the candle, the piece of parchment paper with the honey on top of the plate. Then you're going to take the other piece, put it in the white piece of paper bag. Take the other piece of parchment paper, put it in a white paper bag, and twist the paper bag at the top that it looks like a balloon, and tie a string around it like this so it hangs down like a balloon with the string. Then you're going to take a thumbtack and you're going to stick it up under the table, directly under the plate, and you're going to tack it up under the tape, under the plate, so it hangs down on the table like a balloon hanging down off of a string, directly under the plate on top of the table. Up under the table, you're going to take a thumbtack, you're going to put it up under the table with the bag hanging down, tied at the top of the bag, with the paper inside the bag. Huh? Yes, it's up under the table. The one up under the table, the candle's going to be sitting up on the table with the plate. You're going to take another with the bag and stick it up under the plate, under the table. You get it? If you don't, tell your damn friends next to you or something, get it. And, you know, y'all can't go on all night about this. It's real simple. Huh? By the tape. And you put it up under the table and let it hang down, and that'll get you big money. You let that candle burn. That'll get you big money. Now, these things work better if you believe in them. Don't just believe in it and stuff and just do it just in case. So that's what it is, because a lot of this stuff is off of your own energy. So you have to believe in it. Let the candle burn. Yeah. The candle is on the table with side the plate. Side the plate. Yeah. So let's go into a question and answer right quick. What's that, brother? Okay, this is the arc, the combination of the arc, combination of the wings. The wings represent illumination. That's why you see the wings on Jesus sometimes. It represents illumination. It's got a little scarab beetle on the end. The scarab beetle hangs around shit, feces, and then it grows wings, so it represents illumination. In order for you to rise up, you have to have a spiritual rot and putrefaction. Very key on this here, too. Black people have brain atrophy right now. Our brains don't work right. Because our brains don't work right because we function in a society that's not conducive to our own self. And we even have to question whether we have came out of slavery with thought. I don't even believe half the shit is thought. I don't think we think at all half the time. We have a heightened emotion, a response, and a reaction that we've been calling thought. He really did a job on us. We have hindsight, but we don't have foresight. That's why we're reactionary people. The brain has an atrophy, but this is what happens with us. Nature has a way of correcting things. If you go blind, your sight becomes better. Your hearing becomes better. If you go deaf, your sight becomes better. You know what I'm saying? We don't think in a proper form, and so as a result, what's happening is this matrix brain is shutting down. As a result, the pineal brain is going to become active, because it doesn't have the busyness of the matrix brain, the illusionary brain, to keep it dormant.
Uh-huh.
So in so many words, we are so old until we have a racial senility. And we can't even function on this brain. That's why nothing don't work for us. As a result, a new creature is being born to replace the old one. That's part of this whole thing. So that's what this, the beetle represents that. That the rebirth, and it hangs around in dumb. This is the same blossom that you saw before, the God's hand that I showed you, which the white boy didn't have a symbol for devil at first, and he chose an ancient symbol. Yes, I got it right here. He took an ancient symbol and he made it, and he just made, because there's no such thing as the devil. They don't have a pictorial view of the description of the devil in the Bible. And he just took an ancient symbol, and anytime he see the horns on the head, that represented one with nature. The God, they took the same horns off the body, past our head, and put on the devil. There's a book called The Devil by Jeffrey Burton Russell's book. Jeffrey Burton Russell got an excellent book on the devil. And it show you how he took all them ancient things and converted it into that shit in Rome. So that's what this is. This is the scarab with the beetle, with the wings. Mm-hmm. This is a picture of Horus or Heru. And at the top is the pyramid, represents the union. And at the bottom is the snake, represents the kundalini. And this is what you call the Star of David. It's actually two inverted pyramids, which means Avrabah, so below. And in the middle is the Eye of Heru, which is also the third eye. All this stuff is ancient symbology. It's our stuff. Give me some questions. Okay, hold up. You want to?
You know, as we, first of all, I'd like to thank everybody for coming out. Let's get a brother Black hand. Yeah. All right. And thank you, my queen, as always, in the beginning and the end. We have a mic for question and answers. So to benefit everybody, so everyone can hear what we'd like to do. If you have a question, we do have a mic. So as we do it in all the lectures, if you could just form a line right there. Now, also, what we're not going to do, Brother Jamal, he had to leave, that we're not going to have a debate. We're not going to have any argument. And we're not going to have a mini lecture by the questioner for the benefit for the brothers and sisters that have come to get the knowledge. I say on that? Okay, so if you have a question, not 5, 6, or 10 questions, I give you the benefit of the doubt of 2 if the brother wants you to go on. But just form a line, and you all have a benefit. The brother here can go on, so we've got plenty of time for your question and answer until he's finished, okay? So thank you all again for coming out. The brother will be back, and this is just one of the things that we do. So thank you, my brother. I hope that.
Hello. Yeah, like I said, this is homecoming for me, you know. All right, give me some questions.
Okay, I want to ask this question the best I can.
Yeah.
Could you explain more why the men should have wives or if he should have wives or why that role is important to get to the high level of
In actuality, what it was a social program. It was a social type of thing that was invented by the sisters in Africa. The sisters is the one that started the whole, you know, polygamy thing because of the shortage of males.
Social program
at that particular time. And it was as much wives as you can afford. That's the difference, man. No sisters have
that.
Three wives and stuff.
As wise as you can afford.
I'm saying you can't afford a damn thing. You end up with 100,000 kids that you got to take care of. You know what I'm saying? So it was a social thing that the sisters put together in ancient Africa and ancient civilizations. Whether that is appropriate now has to depend on the individual situation. And it has to depend on whether you have every party mature enough to understand what's going on. It can't be something that's imposed upon someone based on some type of mind control type thing. So it has to be several people if you're going to do it. You have to be mature enough to understand the importance of it, because ultimately the importance of it was a equality type based thing based on being a shortage of males also too.
Okay, I wanted you to expound on it as far as what you were saying about the higher level of thought consciousness for raising up to the seventh chakra.
Yeah.
What you were saying, I wanted you to expound on it in that sense. If that's the level of understanding and
are you saying as far as the many wives?
what you were saying as far as
I'm a master of this shit. I know what I'm talking about. And I don't see really the relevance of it when you don't even have to have the wise to deal with it on that level. You understand what I'm saying? Because, see, there's a difference between what appears to be spiritual and what real spirituality is. So my point here is, I see the polygamy thing from a social point of view, but a spiritual point of view, you understand what I'm saying? You got to understand this particular part. Each person's soul ultimately could not be raised up by another person. Ultimately, because we're talking about something so innate, so you have to tap into it yourself. And the other person, although you might be inspired by them, you have to go and face your own soul by yourself because it is uniquely yours. So I don't see how ultimately so many wives can raise you up that way spiritually. But socially, that was one of the aspects. But given the time and different things like that and all, that's one that has to be figured out by several people that's mature enough to do that.
So you're saying that higher level of consciousness doesn't have anything to do with wives?
The wives, no.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, let me tell you what real marriage is. The real marriage just has nothing to do with some type of ceremony where you get together. You
come
know,
on,
sacred marriage. See? Real sacred marriage and spiritual marriage is a union of two energies brought on by sex. That's what the partnership was about. Before all the other cultures came and gave you this other social thing, that's why you notice when a lot of times when you have sex, especially with the women being more open, there's a bond. You know what I'm saying? The brother, he might have to hit it a couple of times, but sooner or later it's going to get in too. There's a bond that you get by having sex because it's a spiritual marriage of unions of energies. And that's what the real alchemical thing, what whoever you screw in is your wife. The ceremonial thing was based on civilization and cultural. But the real union of marriage and sex is based on a union of energies, on the alchemical term of this thing. You know, like that. What's that?
Rather than to pick up on that,
yes.
Ben, if every time a person is having sex with another person and that's their spouse, then how can they leave that person and then go on to another person?
See, what it means is there is sex. Where there's also sexual tantra to deal with certain energies, and you can do different things based on an experience in that world. But the one that we're talking about where it's a sexual marriage is usually a permanent partner, or a partner for a certain length of time until whenever you figure that whole thing is. So that's what that has something to do with.
My question, back, you mentioned something about the Kabbalah, and you responded to the three initiates, the law, and you touched on the
vibration. Yeah.
What were the other two?
There's vibration, there's thought. There's thought, there's vibration. Oh, man, there's something. Man, I'm drawing a blank right now. Thought, vibration, rhythm, which would be the same as vibration, but that's probably another aspect of it. And several of it, to be fair, just you need to get the book of the Kabbalion, the three initiates. The studies in Hermetic, the studies in Hermetic philosophy.
Last question. You were talking about how demons or things would come and possess or haunt people. The demons that come and possess women, the Icarus. At night, how do you handle that? And how do you handle being so sensitive to a lot of psychic energy and its distraction?
Okay. That's a good question. Okay, one is this. You get rid of some psychic energy by several things. Number one, the Damians, which is just basically energy, it's a twofold thing. It's like we call it Cohen Janus. It has two heads. You can turn the energy around that it don't be so severe by understanding more about it. That's one way. The other way is if you have that kind of incubus energy
if you have something like that, is you're going to have to do some spiritual cleansing. So you strengthen your aura so that the energy can't, it blocks that particular thing out if you have that type of energy coming to you. And how you do it, you take a spiritual cleanse, you have a spiritual bath. What you do is you take you some lemon, some limes, and you cut them up and you squeeze out as much as you can in a pot of juice, like lemonade. And you take the lemon and lime, and you put all the hulls, the peels, you take all that, you put all that in a pot, and you boil it. Put a little water, and you boil it. Then you take that, and you put it in, you run your tub of water, and you put that and dump it in the tub. Then you put you some sea salt in the tub. Then you get in that water, and you bathe in it, and you imagine your aura, because it's all based on your thoughts, getting stronger and stronger. But before you get out of that water, you take your whole head and you put in that water. And then you come out from up under the water, you put your head, and you get in the shower and you shower off all of that stuff. Then you imagine your stuff glowing. And so if you take those spiritual baths, you can stop some of the, that type of stuff also too. As well as put some black eyed peas under your bed. See, this is not just crazy stuff. This stuff all has alchemical and chemical meanings behind it that's been lost over the years. You see, so let me give you an example of since it came to mind. White boy was eating lunch with this white boy. My girl was working, she works at Atlanta Journal and Constitution, the main paper down there. And so this white boy, he was going up the street to this vegetarian place, and the white guy said, "Can I go?" You know, he's one of them old UCLA Berkeley, you know, Birkenstocks, all hippie type motherfucker, you know. So we was up in there, and he saw all this around my neck, and he started dropping. Yeah, the Egyptians had brain surgery and all this kind of thing, and I was like, yeah, the Western man was basically an idiot. To this day, you know, was dropping on him like that, and all this dude would come. So he was saying, and so I said, you know, the Western man has to dissect things, take it apart just to find out how it works. And he never get the true essence from it, and he's not healing. He's patching up things. So he doesn't. The medicine is not for healing. It's to cure the symptom, not the cause. Because a lot of the healing is dis-ease of the spiritual body. And so I said, well, the African, he could study nature, and he could see exactly the movements of things and different things, and so he would observe, and he could really heal things, the ancient person being in tune with nature. And I said, he could take a coconut, an egg, some cornmeal, some other stuff like that, some beads and some beans and stuff, and he could cure the body of major ailments, major catastrophe. And he said, I got your ass now, nigga. You're going to have to explain to me how that is done. And actually, the science to it has been lost over thousands of years. But as soon as he said that, I said, I can explain it. As soon as I explained it, they came and gave it to me. Just on the spot that you know that ain't nothing lost. I said, I can explain it. And so he said, explain it. I said, look, you know of electromagnetic force fields? He said, yes, electromagnetism. I said, the African understood that there's everything in your body has electromagnetic force field to it. And only thing he used to do is he could understand that if there's something in your body, there's something in nature that corresponds to it in the equivalent of the electromagnetic force field. And only thing he had to do was match up the electromagnetic force field in nature to the electromagnetic force field in your body and get the same reaction, and he could cure anything in your body based on the forces of nature. And it just came to me. God damn. You see what I'm saying? So the whole thing, what I was saying about the black eyed peas and the spiritual cleansing and stuff like that, it has greater alchemical reason, but now the white boy convinced us that that's spooky. You see what I'm saying? And so now we all educated now, and we don't want to believe that, but we want to go to the damn doctor so he can butcher our ass. Yeah, never go to a doctor. Before you get taken out like that, because they used to kill us for population control. They got to kill so many in the hospital every year. Because usually you survive all this shit. But when you go to the doctor, they take your butt on out. So if you're that sick, if you can't cure this shit on some other level, just go ahead and have somebody sing some songs and you get onto the other realm. But don't go out like no punk. You see what I'm saying? So, yeah. So that's the spiritual bath to do that. What's that, sister?
High coming.
Okay.
And thanks for the information.
All right.
I just wonder if you could expand on the tantra energy, you know.
Get the tantra in again. Turn this on. I want to show you this. That's a good question for me. Here's what I want you to practice.
Thank you.
Here's what I want you to practice right quick. When you get in the bed, imagine... book you want to get is called Ecstasy Through Tantra by Dr. John Mumford. That's one of the best. So you got that one? Dr. John Mumford. That's an excellent one for this. This one gives you pictures. And he also goes to India to Egypt and shows you the shit on the temple walls. You see what I'm saying? Also, too. And you know the one where you basically, this one, where you basically, that piece under the nails, scrotum, and you mash that so that the cum don't come down and it goes back up. And all, but they show it in this Dr. John Mumford book is one of the better ones. There's the penis and scrotum and that little dot right there. It's called a nada, the Yoni nada, and all the mash that and all. So there's some things you can do, and there's some stuff for creative visualization stuff you can also do too. Some creative visualization stuff you can do also too. Basically, you just it's a mental aspect. Yeah. Oh, what you want to do, it depends on what you want to do. You can strengthen the certain body for healing. You can also, you can use it to program the body for different dreams. So, you know, you tell your body that you, before you go to sleep, that you want a dream. You just tell your subconscious mind, I want a dream. Also, you can say, I want memory. There's several things you can do, but you can tell your body, as long as you know that you're in control, you can do that. You can literally signal to the body also, too, that you want a dream. And you say, when I go to sleep at night, my body going to sleep, but I'm going to stay awake so that I can experience the actual dream. So there's several things you can actually do. It depends on research and what you want. But a lot of stuff is what you can do mentally also, too. Another one, when you go to court, this is a good one. I know that. When you go to court and you want to get something done and stacks and stuff against you, what you do is you imagine a white ball coming from behind your head. And you imagine that white ball, hitting that judge, or the lawyer of the jury in the forehead, and that shit will work. That's this guy named Thunderdog gave us that from the Native American Isles. He told us how to build this altar. I'll tell you in a minute how to build an altar to Thunderdog. Real powerful entity. Check your house and shit. He told us to hit him in the head. And that's interesting because I was going to Detroit one year to speak, like 4 years ago. In this particular case. And the sister sent me a ticket. It needed to be reactivated. It was an older ticket, but you have to pay like $40 or $50 to reactivate it, and I was broke. Mama said, you got to pay $40 and stuff. I said, I don't have no money. She said, I ain't handling it. This was a redneck cracker woman. She wasn't budging. And I just took that ball and hit her in the head, and she said, all right, then. I guess she can go. So I know this thing works. I know this thing works also. That works also. What's that, sister?
Yes. To thank you for the thank you for this is the most wonderful lecture that I've seen in all my stay in the United States. I'm from Nigeria.
Okay.
Please, I just want to appeal to my sisters to please speak more to the children because my child is 5 years and I've started giving him genetic information.
Mm-hmm.
I went to school all this time, never understood the difference between our genetics and theirs to the extent that I understand it now.
Mm-hmm.
And the genetic information will be very helpful to members of your family where, as regards to who they marry. You know, I live in the valley, and I tell my brothers what I have learned. There's no reason for you to acquire the genetics of someone who goes to the sun and gets skin cancer, liver cancer, and all that.
Right.
I'm proud to tell you that last week, I convinced a brother to leave his two white girlfriends. So I'm very proud about that. We cannot play with this talk. My number two question is, I have one question, but please, one more comment. My sisters, can we please love each other more? I go to this Oriental store. We have no one place with black sisters in our nails. We always get energy from these people, and you don't know what they're transferring to you. So please, can we love more and stop eating chicken, because chicken hates. White chicken, they're always fighting against each other, and you acquire those.
They muted that, you guys. They mute a lot of stuff because they're giving you the real science behind it, and it's the food that we eat, you know what I'm saying? But do it at your own pace, you guys. Don't feel forced to have to,
stop eating chicken.
You know, stop eating overnight.
Brother, my question,
do it your way.
When you get to that orgasmic level, are you saying don't go all the way when you're having when you're communing with your brother? I prefer to use communion instead of sex, because sex is a white man's language. I prefer to use chemistic communion. So I just want to know what to do when you don't reach orgasm. Is that what you're
saying? It depends on what you want to do. Sometimes if you have an orgasm, it's still good to go into meditation. You just go and just actually eliminate. But then again, on the other hand, sometimes you might not want to. What happens is if you don't, you'll find out when you wake up in the morning, when you go into meditation, wake up morning, you have a whole lot of power.
Okay.
You have a whole lot of power. Some males, if you have problems getting you a woman, what you want to do is have a massive cum buildup, a semen buildup, and what will happen is it opens up the chakras. And your whole magnetism will start drawing the sisters in also, too. You see what I'm saying? Based on that, too. Because what happens is you gain this shine. And they're drawn to your whole aura, too. It strengthens your aura when you have when you have the semen build up also, too. Somebody else said, I ain't into that stuff, but I'm just saying. You can tell when a brother, sometimes, because we lose a lot. So if you see a brother looking dead half the time and all dry looking and stuff like that, that's because he's releasing too much. You see what I'm saying? You see how little boys look. You see what I'm saying? And even teenage boys who didn't even have a certain radiance to them. You see what I'm saying and all? They have a certain radiance to them and all. So it's some things you also want to do too.
Also, can you comment on cleansing? So Queen Alpha says we should not, we should cleanse and let convince the brothers to cleanse also before getting into any chemistic communion. So please, can you comment on cleansing the system and how powerful is that as far as our system? And
yeah, well, it's just a matter of your auras coming together also, too. Your auras coming together also, too. But also, too, the male has better sexual stamina if he also clean out based on the colon. Also, too, that's one you want to hit, too. There's some stuff called NutriCleanse. That's the best stuff on the market. NutriCleanse. That's the best stuff on the market because a lot of the colon cells will stop working after a while. This stuff here, what it does, it's not like all the city on us. What it does is when you go regular, but it makes the bowel movement very long, so you basically get all of the upper part of the colon. It's called neutral cleanse. Also, what's that, brother?
Okay, now, I was watching this thing about DNA. According to the so-called white man, that a real black person, like a black person from South Africa down the region where they say, man, originate from, is that the white man, he said more mutation or more variety. Like, a black person could produce every kind of person. First, to a white man, he can only produce to like himself, and that's he had only one mutation. So, but I want to know what you think. I'm thinking that white people come from black people, but you more or less indicated that you there was some separate.
But you got to realize one thing about this too. In order for them to go, see, first of all, a mutated person of an albinoid type citizen, a species, that's almost a one in a million chance it wouldn't happen on a species that would make an entire race. I mean, what it is this here. Because we didn't have a lot of scientific evidence to understand a lot of theories. But what we don't understand is the ancient, we didn't come, civilization didn't evolve up to what it is now. Civilization, very high things in it, trash. So the stuff that they're doing now, they're just doing an outer shell of it. But we were so advanced, and the white boys pushed the timeline up to 6,000 years. They have this thing here. Hold on a minute. Put this on here one
more. Timelines are wrong.
They found this one. They found this text in the British stuff brought up by the Moors. They found this text brought up by the Moors. And it's such an old ancient writing from Arabic until they couldn't even go and get a regular Arabic person to try to decipher it. They had to go and get an old ancient Kushite family that was still living in that area to decipher this stuff, because this thing is so old. They deciphered, they had a timeline on it, and the timeline went back to like 2 million years. You see what I'm saying? And the only person to even talk close to that for a long amount of time was some of high civilization was Abu Elijah Muhammad. So they got this stuff. It's in the British Museum. It was like 2 million years advanced.
They mute a lot of stuff, you guys, because they was Bobby was probably giving some real.
Serious,
it's okay.
First of all,
turn filter. What's the come?
Hominid ate like people. That didn't happen with us. We was advanced. So we were so advanced, so there's no way that many mutations would have occurred. And we didn't do nothing about this shit. You see what I'm saying? Based on all of the evidence, only evidence I find, and it's tons of it. I'm telling you, it's so much of it. I did a book. I got to go and do a redo. It's so much information on this thing now that you can find that they hid from us. That you can find it. So I have to spend the next year compiling all this stuff. It's so much evidence. But my point is now we're tapping into the alchemical science and stuff, and we realize we had the science to do this particular stuff as far as create these mutating type things. And it was more of a laboratory type thing, genetic experiment, than us doing shit by nature. Because no other animal species, it would just mutate a whole damn race of people or some kind of stuff like that. You see what I'm saying? Because most, all the other animal species in the flower kingdom, the plant kingdom, the animal kingdom, they kill off the mutated strain.
Yeah, but you know, like when a woman has a baby in her stomach 9 months, your brothers are killing, but woman say, hey, no, I had this 9 months.
Yeah, but I'm trying to say is this here. That's what I'm trying to make is this here. We were not some idiotic people. You understand what I'm saying? Civilization didn't start no 6,000 years ago. We were very advanced. So therefore, we had the powers of God that we had. Did you notice that Africa got a damn ritual to cure anything? They got a ritual to stop a damn bullet. They got a ritual to start the heart back up. So we got some of those funny, dirty ass people to take. We talking about some advanced scientists. To the day, to the earth will never catch back up to that. We got to bring it back. So the point I'm trying to make here is, it wasn't no doggone accident when the greatest doctors couldn't fix. You see what I'm saying? But we go by this, it's still on this white boy's history to give up that old evolution from a primitive hunting gathering people. And the whole Afrocentric movement, they went with that old bullshit and all. And basically, because most of them were still connected with the universities, and when you connected in them white people's schools, even if you do come across some truth, you better not say some shit because it might be scholarly suicide. And I know some of the stuff I got on the internet for being created was some of the things that I That's what I knew then. The motherfuckers were faking and faking and poke on that shit. But I'm telling you, this whole thing, you got to understand, new light of information you're coming out with. It's not based on that, based on historical things. There is no way that they can have something that can go wrong with to remedy this situation. But man, they could. Let me tell you how bad these people were. Hey, when the British got up, when the British went to Kemet, they found a white substance in the pyramid. And whatever they put it on, if they put that shit on this book would float. If they put it on, if they put it on this overhead projector, it would float. If they put it on a two-ton, they put it on a two-ton brick man, it would float like it's on water. So they packed up enough of this shit. They packed up enough of a whole boatload. They cleaned the pyramids out. And the assholes didn't cover it. And the assholes didn't cover it up. And by the time they got to England, all of it had thrown away with a saucer full. So that all that old shit about cutting some slabs from some rocks and putting it on some barge or some bullshit. These people were so bad that they could produce melanin outside of the body like a black powder. You see what I'm saying? Like a black power. We talk about people that could do that at a certain level. It was unbelievable. So this little old thing about somebody going wrong and they could have hooked that shit up like it wasn't. The reason why I know that Africa even today got the shit. I got another bitch. This is one of my things. I have to call back. There's one bitch with your AIDS, crack, anything you got. There's contraception. There's no such thing as disease that can't be cured. So I'm saying, even the stuff that's preserved now. I was talking to an African brother, and this brother said, hey, because I was talking to this other brother from South Carolina on the train one night, and I was telling him about, you know, you could do this magic. And he was saying, you know, my father never worked. He said he was always one of them brothers that never worked. He said he always had father. Always had. And he said, not only bag in the back of that car, and I never knew what it was. He said, all this time here, he said, you mean to tell me this magic work? And he said, man, it's amazing that I'm hearing this for the first time, because I see my father was into that, and you telling me now. So after the brother listened, he said, hey, brother, man, listen to that brother. He said, if you don't believe in it, it will not work. He said, they got some Africa on the continent that they don't let off the damn continent. Because if they let these off the continent, they say at 12 o'clock on any bank in America, they can walk up in that motherfucker invisible and rob them blind. Just a shit they rub on their body and rob them blind. And he said they won't even let this shit off out of the West Coast. So they got certain families over there that had to hide the secrets. Let me tell you another thing how. I was in Newark one time doing a lecture, and an African stepped up to me and gave me a $100 bill. And this brother said, he said, it's amazing. He said, when I went to college, my family went and went in a little box and gave me a ritual. He said, you do this ritual, and any time you do this ritual, you will pass any test known to man. But
Hey! Hey! Stop whooping on him! I'm sorry, y'all. I'm being an animal. My cat be whooping my dog ass, y'all.
Party! Party on him! Damn kiss. Listen, here I am, I'm gonna kill myself. And the brother went right through school past every damn kiss. So we're talking about advanced science. The advanced tournament and talking, they was grazing the goddamn surface.
Sir, sir, I'm telling you what I know, but I use this shit. I got, I right now, and I don't advise you to do it. I go invisible on their ass, and I just got so bold, I took a big old step. Nobody saw it. I know this shit works. We talking about some advanced stuff.
Okay, what's your son's sign,
yeah,
man? Huh? What's your son's sign?
Well, I'm a Sagittarius, so I don't, yeah. So, yeah. What's that, sister?
Peace. Yes, sister. Much respect. I first heard you in Atlanta back in 95.
Okay.
Yeah, Sister Afrikiti.
Sister Afrikiti, yeah.
Right.
That was the spot.
Right. I remember you.
I remember your face.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I'm Sister Angel.
Yeah, okay.
I have quite a few of your tapes and videos, and on one of your tapes you shared some words of power. Light will overcome.
Light will overcome. Light will make us one. Light from the blue far fire sun, which is command us now all free.
Those words, they just stuck and they've been very powerful for me.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if you had any other words of power that you could share with us that we could meditate on.
Boy,
that could take us forward.
Let me think for a minute. You get ready to leave. Yeah, oh, man. It'll come out of what you call it. Well, why don't you do one thing? All you got to do is sit quiet, and your spirit will tell you some stuff to say, but what it is we don't trust it. We thinking it up. And it worked.
But those words were ancient, and they were, and they came
it
from.
Worked. That would work.
Who do you say? Saint Tumura. You know, these.
But I'm too
serious.
Life should say what? Life? What did it say? Let me remember again. I'm drawing. It was life will overcome. Life will make us one. Life from the blue fire sun command us all free. It was from Sirius. Yeah, I remember that. It was powerful, yeah. Listen, life will overcome. Life will make us one. Life from the blue fire sun command us all free. It was real powerful. I got some more, but it's just right now, But I appreciate it, yeah. Mm-hmm. What's that?
Yes, greetings, brother. I'm
yes.
Mr. Malika from Africa House, and
Ray
is here with me as well.
Yeah.
I just want to thank you for what you bring to us, and I just simply want to address some of the things that you pointed out. If you would expound a bit on respecting the elders. Some of us know that I've had a sign-up sheet going around for quite some time.
Uh-huh.
I mentioned it in 95 about putting together a council of elders.
Yes.
And I noticed you started out by mentioning the last frontier of disrespecting the great mother in some film that's upcoming. I didn't get the name of the film exactly.
Now the professor, the crump.
Okay.
They're going to savage the black woman, the old. Yeah. The big mama's family, too.
Okay.
They did it. They eased it on in with that one, but he was dressed up like a big mama. But then, so they prime you for that. This one's gonna be the black woman getting freaky.
Okay.
You know, yeah.
Well, thank you, and I would certainly say any of you would like to sign up for putting together a council of elders to help us learn to resolve our conflicts in a reasonable and amicable way, resorting back to what we did at Ancient Chemist. I would certainly say see me before you leave. Now, brother, the next thing I'd like you to address is this issue of the Sepian people. Issues concerning things that were taboo, such as oral sex. Some of our sisters are suffering in silence, and they do not discuss this issue publicly because they have some brothers who are persecuting them, and they don't know how to speak it.
But I'm talking with them in private. What though? Oral sex was not taboo. Now, not only that, I think they got it on the temple walls in India, but I'm gonna even break this shit down even more. That was not taboo. Let me explain something to you. It's just we are so trained to not deal with certain things of our own sexuality and our own bodies. In the vaginal secretions, there's that Shakti, Ojas, and Kalas. And certain things they used to also use for empowerment. Now, on the temple walls in India, they have the oral sex thing. And these things here, the Vedic things,
which is doggone Cushite. And let me tell you something. Now, this is might be grotesque, because you get something, if you get a story, a black man will top it, or some black person going to top something. You think I heard it all now, and the next week some other black person going to top something. But if the brother who told me this, when he asked me his question, I already knew some stuff, because he said something happened. And what happened, he couldn't do it now. He said he had a brother that lost his job, and he ran out of money. He didn't have no food. He got super hungry. So he called over his girlfriend. I'm saying, well, hey, you feel all right? You lost your job and ain't got no money, still got a girlfriend? He called over his girlfriend, and he said the spirit told him to just eat her out. And he ate her out for about an hour, come to say. He got through. He was so full, he was about to bust. So the brother came and asked me, when he heard this story, was there anything in the vaginal secretions that would do something like that? Now, based on me being into this stuff, and believe me, I study, they do have these things called serpent power by Arthur Avalon. Serpent power, Arthur Avalon. Kali's, Shaki's, and ojas, lunar fluids. And this stuff is for very healing purposes and all kinds of stuff like that. So I know that particular part. We say that and all, but I have new evidence and stuff. In the John Muslim book, you can see it right on the temple walls on that particular part about that. On that particular part about that. Now, there's other things I don't know, but I'm telling you, you'd be surprised. A lot of things that get taught as taboo is stuff that the males, male hatred, they knew that the woman was the ultimate aspect of sexuality, which represents power, and they had to shoot down a lot of that and destroy a lot of that, and that comes from patriarchy.
Well, that's why I appreciate your bringing forth the energy, the matriarchal energy, because I'm finding that there are brothers in the community and around the cities that I do travel as well that are literally forcing sisters in this situation that is uncomfortable for them, and I would take it to even a higher level. One of the things that Dr. Francis Kress spoke of is that one of the first things we need to learn to do is what to do with the parts of our anatomy. And it has caused quite a bit of pain among some of the sisters.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
Single sex issue because
well, you know that's a whole other thing. And
absolutely.
And so I understand that there's all types of grotesque things that's happening too.
Absolutely.
And grotesque things are happening also too. And I do understand that. But you know, at this particular point, I think in actuality that personally right now we break this down to the least common denominator. See, I'm not an advocate to go out here and say we got to teach people outside of the people that's coming to us conscious, because I know that that's a failure. It ain't happening. It's not happening. But we still have that. We got to go and teach our brothers and sisters. And like I said, based on this thing, y'all, what's going to happen is we're going to have these victims up until this thing is over. So that means what happened is this is the time that you've got to cultivate the ones who were raised in that. Our people are sympathized with that shit so much to the white boy for how you did that shit.
draw a blank. You see what I'm saying? So my point here is, I think that we have to cultivate the people that we already have. I think we got to cut the denominator of the feel-good shit. Niggas ain't shit. Niggas ain't going to never be shit. And it ain't about saving. What's going to happen is this. First of all, the physical realm is not supposed to last. You know, it's interesting because I'll be honest with the thing. I said, well, I want to get there. Something out here. I want to study it because I'm sincere. I gave up all my fucking money to do this. And I found out one thing. I said, in studying this stuff, they never said in none of the scriptures I read that we were going to go back and go back to a physical Egypt or a physical land or whatever. A caterpillar don't go into a cocoon to become a caterpillar. It metamorphosizes into a butterfly. The next step is something beyond the physical realm.
That's right.
Because I'm going to let you in on another secret based on alchemy. That's what I do know based on the higher arts. The ancient process of what they call melanin is called mercurial substance. Not the mercury, you know, the alloy or the other thing you see, but it's called mercurial in alchemy. The dark substance called the nitrito, the sol niger, or the sol nigger, the nitrito, or the blackening of things. Of the nigrum, nigrus, nigra. The black substance, that's what it is. Now, if this particular substance, whatever it is such an old substance, the one thing it cannot do, it has to keep going far further. It cannot retain the prior property and the prior state. So that means that we cannot go back because the melanin thing is always going to the next. You know what I'm saying? To the next plateau. Let me give you an example. Y'all all right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's very important. This is how it's saying, folks.
I think we are almost done. Let's see how long we got. Yes, almost done, guys. I'm probably going to end. Okay. When you coming back?
understand ourselves. Same concept. We were here, and we used the whole cycle up. And now we got shifted to the other side. The same. We got shifted. I always explain that all. Fred Allen Wolf's book. Fred Allen Wolf's book. Fred Allen Wolf's book. Wolf. Parallel Universe. And an occult book called Nookie and Physics by Nookie and Physics by Betty Gerald and Betty Shula. Nookie and Physics, and they got this thing here. But one of the main books is Parallel Universe talks about this too. Which one? Parallel Universe, Fred Allen Wolf. And it brings us about that black hole. That black hole, you slide from the inside. The black hole is the black dot. So I'm saying is these are some things that's what's going to happen. And in actuality, you know, I care nothing about the motherfucking niggas half because I know it's not going to happen. Because they don't supposed to. They don't supposed to. You ain't going to liberate shit. So you accept the chase and stuff. We know that's not going to happen. You know what I'm saying? You know in your heart it ain't going to happen. Now, you know, it's interesting, but like one of the sisters, Sakai in Atlanta, she had to go back to Chicago. She said, damn, I went home Christmas. She said, the niggas are so dead. She said, what you have to do to when you go home, and you notice being conscious people, when you go home, you literally, in order to get along with your family while you're there, you got to take your consciousness, put it on the shelf, and put on the ignorant cap, is this to stay a fucking week. And damn near kill yourself. You better do it. And then not on that too. You know that your mind control is so advanced now that so you won't talk about Tiger Woods, L.A. Lakers. All kinds of, you can talk about all kinds of shit, the internet, Bill Gates. As soon as you mention something conscious, they got a shut off valve. They get quiet. That's because the white boys done put something in our people's heads with trigger words. They got a shut off valve. This is a foul. It ain't got nothing to do with whether you are hee haw or bourgeois. Don't matter. Y'all are in the same shit. Whether you're a hee-haw or bourgeois. So I'm saying on that particular thing and all, why do what we know ain't going to happen? So we only have to cultivate the ones that are here. Everybody else, shoot them. For the starving. We know. You willing to come out playing some hell, try to fix up a nigga. A bad invention. Nigga was a bad invention.
Thank you, brother.
Okay, so let me end this because pretty much it's done, you guys.
Scientific socialism and all these things, and you're right, the shutoff valve went off conveniently. So I was just wondering, among the conscious community, do you have anything, a ritual or something you could offer us to help
hope.
Transcend our fear so that we can?
No.
And I think
I would have said no.
We got so much of this. I got 150 videos out, and I'm not trying to make money. I'm just saying that a lot of this stuff is on those things.
Can we have 2 a.m. conversations under the starlights? Leaving all negativity at home and know that everything gonna be alright. As long as we have each other in our life, can we not label anything as ridiculous and just let our thoughts be endless? Can we manifest this moment in infinite? In my life. I deserve to receive great abundance in my life. I give thanks for the abundance in my life at this moment. I inspire abundant thinking in others. I know that the universe is infinitely abundant. I live in a rich and abundant universe. I know that there's more than enough to go around. I mentally and emotionally welcome abundance into my life. I naturally attract divine abundance into my life. I now have prosperity and abundance in all areas of my life. I now have surplus in all areas of my life. I readily accept the abundance that is my birthright. I receive more abundance each day. I receive more abundance each day, more than I can ever imagine. I see my life as it is meant to be, abundant and prosperous. I see my life as it is meant to be, abundant and vital. I welcome abundance into all areas of my life. Provides whatever abundance is appropriate for me. The unlimited abundance of the universe flows into my life every day. There is a constant stream of abundance in my life. There is great abundance in all areas of my life. There is growing abundance in every area of my life. There is immense abundance in all areas of my life. Today I bless my being with limitless abundance. Today I reclaim the abundance that is my universal birthright. Today I see and feel great abundance life has to offer. With every breath I take, I bring more and more abundance into my life.
Bring more and more abundance into my life.
But never come to the full realization of the soul inside. Being blinded by misconceptions like complexion with the perception that we have third open eyes. I've traveled through many galaxies with the spiritual knowledge just to let you know that you are not these physical bodies. Being blinded by misconceptions like complexion with the perception that we have third open eyes. I've traveled through many galaxies with the spiritual knowledge just to let you know that you are not these physical bodies.
All right, we got 45.
I've traveled through many galaxies with the spiritual knowledge just to let you know that you are not.
Powerful. Shout out to Brother Lundrell. You guys can check him out on YouTube. Very, very wise brother. Some of you can't stand his voice, you know, Joanne, if you listen to this playback. But it's not about the little shit that irritates us. You know what I'm saying? It's more about the meaning and the soulness that he has behind that irritating voice. The messages in which that divine irritating voice, you know, delivers to humanity. You know what I'm saying? We got to move away. And this is no shade or no offense to you, Joanne, although I mentioned your name. But just in general, guys, that little shit that we bicker about and argue about, like shit that don't even matter, get the message.
You know what I mean? So, guys, I know that this podcast has been all over the place, but I will say that this podcast has been in divinity. You know what I'm saying? So getting moving away from judgment, moving away from how we feel shit should go, even my fucking self, talking to my goddamn self. As I learn through these podcasts each time that even no matter how I'm feeling, no matter how we're feeling, no matter what we got going on, Eternal and I, you know, made an agreement that we will show up and we will be here every day, every weekend at a certain time just so that we can get back. When we can. Now, I think we're doing good at 90-10 right now. You know what I'm saying? From a 70-20 or a 70-30. I think we at 90-10 right now. So I think we're doing great, and we're also good at communicating better when there are going to be shows missed. So anyway, guys, we got about 40 minutes to chat. You know, I'll pass the mic to Eternal. I'll just say my brief on all two guys. We put two books in the if you guys Enhancing Awareness Radio, go to our Facebook group. We put two books on this show, and the first book was suggested by Eternal. It's called Yerba Self-Help Using IDIMU, and that is paperback, and it's by, the author is Kennard E, last name is spelled M-A-U-G-E. I'm going to put it in the show notes as well. And also, a book that I suggested was one from one of my mentors early on. It's called Shrine Altar, and the author is H.YUYAASSAAN, and then hyphen ANU, all right? That's Chi Yu Ya, but the book is called Shrine and Altar, and it's a white and black book with a little black pyramid. Those two books, guys, are going to help you, you know, but how I started my altar, guys, is I have an ancestral altar, and I also have a personal altar. I had to separate the two because I was trying to do everything. I was trying to put all the shit together, and then, no, my ancestral altar is in a designated part of my home to where, you know, I invite the – these people aren't dead at all, you know. But anyway, I invite the spirits of the unseen in on this altar, and then there's also activity that happens when you ignite these altars and when you communicate with these unseen realms. This is why I do not have those personal altars in my bedroom, because I don't want ancestral energy or spirit or even anybody, you know, doing and knowing what I am into in my bedroom, because you have spiritual succubus, you have your child molesters that were your uncles and all this stuff, and you don't really know what you're inviting in. And then if you're inviting this to your bedroom, they have access to come into your personal space where you sleep and reside. You just, for me, I just don't want none of that shit in my bedroom. So you got your ancestral altars, and you have your personal altars. Your personal altars, where mine is in my bedroom. So you got ancestral, you got personal. Where you place them is definitely on you, but I would definitely play around with altars and figure out what works for you. All right, Eternal, go ahead. Eternal, I'm done. The mic is yours.
Oh, there you are. Yeah. Just like what thinking about different people who have their religions that's showing us how the power, and then, of course, there's powerlessness in the energy of what we call our religion. And this is basically based on the elements of our nature and the realms that we use as what we call spirit. So it comes from our humanistic thoughts. How do we prevail energy to work for us in our favors? So we basically ask for a change through dimensions, and that's you being the spirit realm. And because that is between a positive and a negative change, this is what we call alter. So there's this question of why is she black? Why so many thrones of wisdom why so many thrones of wisdom are black posed as mysterious and seemingly unanswerable problems? Art historian Eileen Forsyth says that there are no intended to be black. No, not intended to be black. They were not intended to be black. They became so over time because of fire, smoke, or other natural causes. Yet in viewing the version of Marsat, that's M-A-R-S-A-T, or Notre Dame, Notre, N-O-T-R-E-D-A-M-E, Day Bonnie Deliverance in New Willy, Paris. It is striking to see the contrast between the black skin of the mother's face and hands are extremely bright clothes. Merely accident, it seems, would have blackened everything. Some recent anthropological research indicates that while many of these Madonnas were black, were made black by accident, perhaps 30 of the statues, all in regions once occupied by Roman legions, may have always been black. These include those at Montserrat, Marseilles, Chartres, and at Ina in Sicily. Sometimes it is not certain if a statue was originally a goddess of Mary. In Ina, a doctor of Demeter and Cori was used in church at the Nativity to represent Mary and Jesus until the 19th century, when Pius the 11th, the 9th, became aware of it and had the statue moved. Statues of Demeter and Isis were black because they were associated with the fertility of the dark earth. Recalling the appearance of Isis at night in the beautiful vision of Apuleius, such findings suggest that the black Madonnas were Christian, borrowing from earlier pagan forms that retained the power of their models. In the West, whether or not the statues were black by accident or the origins, it is clear that the white statues were often deliberated, painted black because people preferred them that way. For example, when the black version of Enciadelen in Switzerland was moved in Austria in 1798 to escape Napoleon, it was restored to its original whiteness. Public outrage caused it to be repainted black. This is in The Search of Mary, the woman and the symbol, Sally Kuhnin in 1969. They also have a picture and a sculpture of a painted wood robe with a gilt copper or the 15th century of this black Madonna, and she basically has the crown, she has the veil. I mean, everything is decked out on this picture. This is the scenario why we would say alter and alternate. We were explaining what's the real, purpose of having an altar in the first place. Well, if you look at altars is a reason for us to see the other side of the world. So like a mirror or an effect towards the mirror, how do you talk? Do you talk to the mirror? Sleeping Beauty. Same with Sleeping Beauty. And it was also, I feel like it's Snow White as well. But, the story about who's the fairest of them all.
Sleeping Beauty.
The conversation. Say again?
It was Sleeping Beauty with the mirror.
Okay.
I think it was Sleeping Beauty with the mirror.
Okay, so you got to think of, I feel like it was. If anything, smoke and mirrors. They always give you that conversation, smoke and mirrors. Be mindful of the smoke and the mirrors. So this is another altar. Those people talk
smoke
through their
and
smoke.
Mirrors.
That's why, and the mirror is the other. And then, of course, there's also what I was explaining earlier about water streams. When water streams are flowing, it's a currency, so you're able to flow. Now, just imagine, when a person is actually altering music, right, they're the poet. So Pan was a part of the flute or the lyre. this is the part of the Sagittarius energy, the sagittal and the Taurus energy. So how do we get the ducks or the geese or even the rats they were saying that was in the town to come out of the town? The same way with the children, they got them to come out of the actual town with music. Music is another altar way of channeling your energy. So that's why singing is important. Sirens. The woman was mainly important, all right? So radio astrology, when it came down to the woman coming into the room and the man want to speak, he's speaking about as one who has a baby. So it's the difference between the God form and the man form. Man form is just like you're here. You're just like a creature. So you could be a mankind. It won't make a difference. Now, God form is you're speaking in a godly aspect. So you're actually getting tunes coming from to which you're speaking. Now, what makes it a difference is how the witch and witchery, you know, there's a witch in Odu, but there's also a witch in how we say wicked. So someone can shame you, right? And then there's some that actually don't shame you. So this is the good and the bad between the black and the white. The gray, what we call is therurgy. Therurgy is the magic that a lot of people end up being involved in, and they're not knowing about it. So in this, between the black and the white, you have what we call gray matter, but we also have gray magi. So you got magi, therurgy, and geisha. And the geisha is mainly used in the aspect of its lowest vibration, yet it's like the smoke and the mirrors. Like I could take something in front of you and make it look like something else, and you'd be like, oh, how'd you do that? When it was basically something like I could move it faster than you saw it. So now it's about how you see the smoke in the mirrors, right, and how you also can alternate that smoke in the mirror effect that you're feeling. Like you can actually see pixels stronger than what's being seen in front of you. So what that means is just like how I was reading about the statue, it was made in copper. Conduit between your blood, right, is how much metal you've been eating. Now, the difference between that is the oxytocin. Now, I know this sounds like, where are we going with this? Well, it's all about the science and the uterus. The uterus and the oxytocin that's coming out the breast milk. If the mother can give you breast milk, you're basically getting out the impurities of the metal that's in the body that will basically turn our bodies red, like rust. So this is how we lost, like, pigmentation. And it basically deals with the food and the reason why they put the meat or all of these additives in front of this table was to like not forget what was done on the earth. So we all basically had an administration as a menstruation end up becoming the bigger thing. So it was a pyramid and a pyramid as a period. The pyramid is a fire in the midsection. You have a fire in your midsection. When you eat food, it breaks food down. However, it could be stuck or constipated. That's why the snake was introduced to us as the snake in the rod, but it's the idea of knowing how the Solomon's key is really how you have the magical rod. The magical rod that, of course, a lot of women want to have you have an erection. However, it might not go as how you want it. So now it's about the maturity that's within the erection. The ovaries, same thing. There's four cycles to the ovary, where now when you have sex or intimacy, it's a portal now that's happening. And so now you can have a mature ovary or you can have the maternal, the fertilized ovary to where now it can have a new baby come out of this body and it can create new things. And this is where we get chrono, right, and chromosome. The chromosomes, we got 23, right? That's just like a half of it. But now if you had more, like I was talking about with the heart, you can have now 46. The other part man, other part woman, y'all connected now. So now you feel like you can create a baby with each other. Yet what's going on in our 46, it still could be reverse 64, right, which is basically 8 times 8. You're around. Or it could just be at 46 and it ain't high enough. So now you just got, like, the lowest part of those rounds.
I just want to say, Eternal, like, when you're talking, like, I hear you, but like doing this whole podcast.
It might not be for you, brother. It might not be for you.
Okay.
It might not be for you. It just meant for me to say it.
That's why I'm going to shut up. I'm going to mute.
That's why we got to get it out regardless, so everybody who knows it can explain it to the other ones who don't know it. And that way we can alter this alternate, because it's about your chromosome. It's about the chronos. It's about the corona. It's about the COVID. It's all about what's going on in this now and this state. This is why we're talking about the alter. We have to talk about, why is this woman giving out breast milk to this child? This is still going to be the same story. And now all the stories is a legend that we're really explaining. And because it's in all the stories, you can now piece part all the things back together. Why do you have to sit in front of the altar? Maybe you had an issue that you didn't resolve yet, and you need to talk to the underworld. Maybe you have to talk to the people that passed away, and you didn't get that message. Maybe, just like how the sister came in here yesterday, explaining to me, she could tap into the other side, and now she knows where she can go to tap into the other side. This is like how these people are going all the way to Alaska to tap into the Northern Lights, knowing that that's the upbringing energy, right? Just like how we see rainbows. It's a chlorophyllic field over there. So everybody basically have what I want to call it is a land grid. You're creating a land grid, like what I was saying about the radiostology in the church. That's the actual ship. The church is a ship. So you're walking into a ship that's portaling energy. So when you sit in there, women, that's the choir singing, that's like the sirens that's outside going, that's y'all. So it's the idea now to you can uplift us or bring us down. That's what I meant by the black and the white. There's this gray magic, right? And in the middle of this, that's what we call theurgists or theurologists. The theurologist is the theo. That's the one who basically is authorizing. Do I go with this flow or I don't go with this flow? Peace, peace, peace. And if you go with the flow, you'll see how it could be a benefit. If you don't go with the flow, feel the rejection from it. So now it's up to you as the altar. You're a walking, moving altar all the time. So when you're like in the car and you're traveling and you stop and you're at the red light and you're getting pissed off, don't get pissed off. Change your altar. That's why you have an alternate in your car. It's like for the point of the speed to go, but it's also connected to your battery. Your battery is one thing it do. The alternate does the other part. It's going to run it, but the battery is how it starts up. So this is like saying the mother and the father. When they got together, they put this energy together that you are. You're the spark of Noah's Ark. And now that you have it, whenever you start to feel low, go and sit in front of an altar. Go and sit in front of the landscape and just breathe. Endure the energy for a second. A child can do this. And that's why it's important for you to get back to that childlike state. A lot of us got issues thrown off, you know, and thrown in a different direction. However, that's why you have to do it during those times you feel like you're suffering the most, because you're not suffering. You just choose to do something that's not helping you. And now you know how to help yourself. Every time you have a situation, find a better situation out of it. You say, this is not the better situation. Okay, then maybe you need to pause for a second. Maybe you need to take a breather. So in this movie, they were showing how when we got older, all we start being was more anal people. Well, they said you could have the ass on your shoulders, but now you can be a whole ass too when you walk around people. So now nobody want to be around you. So now it's the idea of how is the manna, right, manna and manners work. Are you really proficient when you get around other people? Let's say, how about children? When the children walk in the room, can you still talk to them? Your communication has to be profound along with everything around you. If not, you excluded something in your cipher. Now you have to go back, just like the altar, and forgive. So now when it's here in the physical realm, you won't have such a hard time. A lot of us are having hard times because we don't connect to our altar. We don't connect to your higher power. Your giant is on that other side. Right now, you might feel like a dwarf, yet at the same time, you're connected to the human powers that even the dwarf has as much as the giant has. So now you really have, like I said earlier, three bodies, your head, your heart, and your hips. Well, let's look at the head being the stellar, the galaxy, right? And you want to get to the universe, and that's where the sun is at, and that's the solar. So now once you get to that, Now you can finally start feeling what's going on in your hips. And your hips is connected to how much PHI, the balance that you're putting in the body. Do you put water at the altar? Like the brother said earlier, do you put a white cloth? Because if you think about white could be like the clearest of clear to now is white. It really, the sky isn't completely white. You already know that. The whiteness, though, in those clouds are holding water in it. So that's why you're seeing it so bright and so dark when it's ready to let it out. So now there's a difference in how much water is in the cloud. This is just so that you can remind yourself you're not as small as you think you are. You're actually bigger than who you are. And now you can expand that way of thinking, your corresponding way. That's what I was saying earlier about this is like calling on the telephone and you're not using that nanotechnology I'm using right now to talk to you. This is the way that they were doing. Like if you look at our indigenous people, they used the smoke, right? And they had a towel or a cloth and they kept making signals in the air. That was for people to get the alert on the other side. Now, didn't I say alert? That sounds like alter, doesn't it? Because that's why it is. We're getting alerts of ourselves and the alarms of ourselves. And this is a perfect timing right now. And I'm glad you brought it up, brother, that we're doing it in our Gemini energy, the all-arm energy. So when we went from Aries, that's the think ahead. Now that you got your neck together with your head, how do you plan ahead? And that's through your thinking and your thoughts. And that would be Trinity. That would be the Gemini. They created Gemini to say duality. We're not dueling each other. Me and this brother, we're not dueling each other. However, because of the conversations that we can have in it, the colonizational or the timing or the speed or the power or the non-power, you know, because some people that say, if you don't speak with power, you weak. That's not true. That's not true. It has a truth to it, but it's not fully true. It's like, that's not the truth. You know what I'm saying? Like, it could be true yesterday, but what if I said with power today and I didn't even have to say it as strong? It might be the potent words that you're looking for versus the 1,000 words that I had to get around to finally get to what I was saying. Not everybody's ready for the 1,000 words, just like not everybody's ready for the straight shot. So now we got to come up with alternative ways to help each other out. And this is what I'm doing while I'm on this phone. I'm actually giving you, like, not only the flat form, I'm giving you a, like, you can use your imagination with this form.
I wanted to say real quick, in every weakness, in alchemy, in every weakness, there is a greater strength. This is why I don't try to look at anything or anyone as with weakness or weak, because in every weakness, there is a greater strength.
No, that was great, because that's why I feel like I have to look at those other movies because, you know, Nat Turner went through this. You know what I mean? Like, he went through fighting the man, right? Got away from him and said, I'm free. But then he realized, hey, ain't nobody else free. Let me go back over here. There ain't going to be no good. I'm free and nobody else. You know, like, walking around, I'm free. I can't do too much. It's too limited, you know? So it feels like the power of SU or Elegba, where they actually are the bag lady or the bag man. And this is why you look at California. Look at how many people out there. They're like 7-15 years on the street. Yet they choose to be on the street now because they see on a collective, these people around them need help just as much. And it ain't about the job no more. It's about your duty. It's about what do you confess to doing, not just professional doing. Because if you really look at it, these people that are professionally doing it, they cutthroat in a lot of people. These people who they call kings, they cut through a lot just to get there. So you can see how they're imagining if the money get low, what they're going to do, you know. And then think about it. If somebody got cars, right, they sell cars all the time, they talk to people like they're cars. If a person's working at 7-Eleven all the time, he's still talking to people like 7-Eleven. Now let's look at me. If I'm in here and I'm working all day talking about health, I'm going to talk to y'all all day about health. And it might be a bad thing. I don't know. It just depends on how you look at it. You know what I'm saying? Not everybody wants to be talked to about health. So sometimes I do got to shut my mouth and just let it go how it's going. You know what I mean? And it can be hurting. At the same time, I know that the hurt is not in the truth. The truth is how I feel about it, and that's why I feel hurt. You know what I mean? So that's why we sit at the altar. That's why we let that out. So sometimes you want your hug from your mom, and you're not getting the hug from your mom. So now go over there at the altar. Do something about that. You know what I mean? And then take the bath. And then come back out and do it again at the altar. The altar not there just so you could just, oh, when it's convenient. No, do that like how you said earlier. I got one for one spot, for another spot of situations, and another one for another. I got like three altars. And then I got one outside. So it's like when I really want to go in, I go outside and get that altar in out. And then I'm feeling really great after I'm done. Like, whew, I'm glad I did that. It's like really being at church. And I know people said they had to go to church to feel that. You ain't got to go to church to feel that. That's why the church is now built so that you end up feeling that other stuff. You're like, man, I feel drained. Well, it's because you're in the wrong energy. You got to know how the energy flow too. So the feng shui, realizing like what I was saying about why I even read that little insert about the woman being black. They was telling us an origin, right, to where melanin kicked out from a darkness. So we talking about triple black. We talking about something that's like mushrooms are only made in this darkness, that where it ain't no sunlight for 3 days. So we're looking at something that can be from death to life, and that's where the TH comes from, the death to life. And so we didn't see just one side of the wall. We saw two sides of the wall, and you were alternating that energy back and forth. That means you took whatever was on that side for the life of your child, right, into the next day, the growth of your child. And that's how, like, a year for a lot of us who think this way, think of it as a day, not think of a year as the way it's written down on the calendar. The calendar is a calendar and a calendar. So it depends on how you're looking at it. You might use 13 times 28, and you get 364 days. That depends on what calendar you're looking at. Now, why did I say that? It's because 13 and the 28 actual days, right, and the 12 and the 13, that's basically your moon cycles, not your month. So if we really was looking at the calendar differently, we would see that some of us basically been off track for the long, just like the 9 months, off track. You're saying 9 months is your birthday? You say every year is your birthday. So you off track already. So you got to go back 3 months to require your energy. You're not acquiring your energy. And acquire an Aquarius, that's energy. It might be invisible, yet it still has attainable energy for you. That's why plasma is all around you. We think the plasma bank is the only place that you can get plasma from. Somebody asked me earlier, it was like, how do you create water? No, how do you make water? Why ain't they bottling up water? I'm like, water's always doing condensation. We got currency in our pocket. That's water. That's liquid. That came through liquid. That you call it liquidized when they take it from you. So you know it's liquid. It tax you, right, because they know you got an abundance of it. You just don't know how it is. So now you could be a foreigner to this altar. So that's why you have to be in tune with your origin. Learn that this, why did I say Notre Dame? She's known as the Green Woman. Before it was the Green Man, we got the Statue of Liberty. I'm giving you the clues to have you go on and do some more clue finding. Because for real, we decode things. We don't just leave it as one code. We show it in different various of things. It ain't just one way. They got this book right now I'm looking at. It's called the Lesser Key of Solomon. How about they got 72 interpreters in this joint? So now that's telling me, oh, I got to go back into the Bible again. And here's Solomon's Key. Solomon's Key is the magic wand. The same thing you heard about Moses. And when the staff got dropped and it changed into the snake, yeah, I know, I'm quite sure you're familiar with the story. It's called the Solomon's Magic. How to use the Solomon's Magic. Well, one is the superiority of the pious, which is over the godless. Now, that's just one of the books that's fallen out of the three parts of the wisdom of Solomon. And then there's the identification of wisdom as a woman. That's the second, right? And then the third, they're talking about the marvels of wisdom. Come on, they're always throwing Trinity in front of us. It's just a way that you got to really be in tune. This book I got right now is called I ain't going to go too deep in it. I'm going to just give you the book, The Egyptian Origins of King David and the Temple of Solomon. Now, if you know your origins and you look at the front of that, they're showing you Hatshepsut's temple. They're showing you a woman's temple. So, and then they got what I was saying earlier about the obelisk or the tekenu, that's what they do. They sit in front of these altars. They got two of them, one on the left, one on the right. And then they got two people sitting down. That's they're sitting on the throne. So they're actually showing you through one. How you get into the through one self is that you got to, like, you got to have a mirror effect. You got to mirror yourself. And once you mirror yourself, you start to come into the mirage. The mirage is what you see in the middle of the water. Like, let's say you're looking in the desert, and you see that liquid look like it's in the middle of the desert, and you want to get closer to it, and the more you get closer to it, it seems like it's just dehydrating or something, or it's like, where's it going? That's the actual energy that you see with your own naked eye. That's why this eating of the apple of the tree was important. The apple that you're eating is not just an apple, it's a fruit. And it's applying energy. You're applying a different way of living. Like NWO represents New World Order. Well, you have to kill off the other order. So in other words, chaos before order. And now what kind of chaos was it? Same thing as the nocturnal nighttime. So you got a night, which is the K-N-I-G-H-T, not just the N-I-G-H-T, that's noble and can sit there doing his altar that he has to sit. He becomes stand still like a shoe. So that's statuous. That's why the knight is put on the chessboard. You're seeing how they use different altars to alternate us into different ways of using our four body parts, your north, your east, your west, and your south. And this is, again, like what I was saying earlier about the ovaries. You have a different way of you living through those ovaries. Now, before it became an ovum, A-V-U-M, before man had a phallus, he had an ovary. And you can look that up. I ain't lying. So the mitochondria DNA, about her having a baby before without having no man. Well, what I want to say is the chromosome, right? The chromosome and the chronos. Chronos is a Greek terminology. It's a deity. So when the chronos came out, right, it also changed up the Quran or the corona. So this is why our stem cells aren't strong. You know they stick women with the spinal tap, so they're taking the melanin or melatonin out the body so they won't reproduce. Like, if I ain't getting oxytocin, I can't reproduce another man. That's what's going on. So if you look at me right now, I produced a child, and it was a man right off buck, like easy. This is because I was alternating my food habits. I didn't know that was what was going on, that I had to alternate it. I was doing it because I needed to in my own self.
Yes,
that was my own self.
Just real quick, you turn around, and I'm pleased. Well, yes. Sorry, I had to cut you off. We got 10 minutes, and they will cut us off. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in to this podcast for the authors. You guys, as I'm going to say, as I'm always going to say, guys, do it your way. Do it your way. Do it how you do it. You know what I'm saying? Do it your way, guys. I truly feel that there is no right or wrong way in doing it. You know, it's just a true sin is what we do against ourselves. You know, we come into the knowing and to what, you know, we sin against ourselves. You know, what are the things that we do to our very own selves that we will ourselves, that is a sin to our very own self, our very own soul, spirit, however. So altars are very important, guys. Altars are very, very, very key. I got something going on my altar, and the flame is high and steady. Let me know it's working. It's crackling and shit. So, you know, my personal altar. You know what I'm saying? That's my personal altar, you know. But I had to learn over time what an altar means for me and how to build my own personal altar. That's how I learned. Yeah. I got tips from other people, you know, but they were just tips. But I drew the conclusion on how to, you know, for my own self. And now I can conclude that I have two altars. I'm not a teacher on altars because I'm still learning and still growing. But I do know that doing it how you do it is the best way to go. All right, guys, that's all I got. Tomorrow we have a profound podcast tomorrow, guys. We're going to be talking about Batman. Who is the black man? Who is the black knight? Who is the true original Batman, and what did he stand for? So it's going to be very powerful. Eternal and I both have been preparing for this podcast, and it actually was supposed to be done a week or two ago, but we've been putting it off because it needed to be in divinity. So tomorrow it's going to happen. All right? Love you guys. Until next time, Eternal, we got about 6 minutes, and then they'll cut us off. But Eternal, go ahead and take us out. Great podcast. Thanks.
Good, thanks. Holy cow, Batman. Holy cow. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. Okay, yeah. So fortify or mortify. We mortify ourselves if we don't know how to fortify this energy. So collectively, the oxytocin, O-X-Y, toxin, that's the actual breast milk that the mother gave us. It's not just the breast milk. It's also the hugs that she gave me. It was also the love and affection that she gave me. So when we saw that we've been altered, it's been because the grandma got wiped out. Now, of course, we could say the grandfather supposed to do these things. However, that's the sturdy part to helping her, whatever the structure of the house is. Because when the woman ain't right, same right. So they call it an earthquake. You think about the gods of the earth, the five percenters, they actually gave a lot of the scenario knowings of this, that if we were to make something out of something else, where did we get that origin from? So that means you have to have four elements. You have to have moisture, right? You have to have dryness. And you have to have heat, and you have to have cold. Whatever these elements are, to basically what we call alchemized situations. And now, the only way it could really work is through what we say on the etheric energy. Now, when people got a thumb, they say they got the green thumb, they're actually explaining the same thing I'm explaining. It means that it's not a left thumb, it's not a right thumb, it's both thumbs, green, both thumbs. So that means they're using both their hands. That's the same way what the brother said. It's not a wrong way to do your altar. It just could be a left way or a right way. And when you look at the left way, three lefts equals one right, three rights equals one left. So learning how to make it stronger versus weaker as an altar. Because sometimes you might not feel nothing coming from it. So you're like, man, I need to put some more. I need to juice this up a little bit. I need to put us a little bit more. Look in the seasons. Sometimes the seasons will help you. What analogy of food might you put up there? One person says they put corn up there because they want a good harvest. And the harvest is up through that corn. Now, corn might not be something you eat. However, it might be something that the ancestors would be in tune with. So they'll actually know that you're speaking. And then, of course, the yellow representing Oshun, you might be speaking through that. So I'm not saying that you have to do Yoruba. You can do Kemet. You can do whatever that is of you that you want to personify to keep the strength going. Because sometimes we forget. I get it. I forget sometimes. You put your keys down, where did I put it at? If it's not attached to me, I don't know where it's at. So now I got to go back into memory. Whatever is in my remembrance, I could put back into the picture. And that's us. We can put our pictures back. Now, the thing about us is that we're not liars to ourselves. That's why it could be a point where putting Ogun in your room could be a bad thing. You're sitting there too long, and you got a woman in the room, and now you were talking about doing some dignity stuff, and you about to rape her. It's like a whole little thing, and Ogun will be a part of that. You know what I'm saying? So, like how you said, you want to have, like, if you got an Orisha or something, you want that personal for you to know your God, but you don't want your God to be in the room. All right, put them in the living room. You know, make sure that ain't nobody doing that. It's diligent in the room outside of your room. So there's ways that you can find out how you can still, like a pathway. Basically, Ogun still represents a pathway. So it could be somewhere in the pathway that you want certain things to still resonate for. The other thing is get in tune with some copper and some the elements of crystals and stones. Make sure your sugar and your salt, that's also how it alternates you. So the pillar of salt, majorly, like taking a salt bath, Epsom salt, things like that. I found out the roses, you might want to check, do some research on that because it's different on the estrogen and the testosterone now. So you might want to do some research on that. And I've been picking that up lately because of how this weather been weird and things like that. So you might want to, you know, look at that more, be more mindful. Us as men, being mindful off these energy drinks. Don't drink them drinks. Same thing for women. This is what we call a spermatogenesis. Now, we don't know that. Look it up. Spermatogenesis and oogenesis. That was before we knew about Genesis in the Bible. There's what we're knowing about our body is our Bible. And the more our body breaks down, we're basically having a sin, like the brother said. It's a sentence. Sin on us if we don't see it. It's the sun in us if we don't see it. So just get your mind right. It's your moon and your sun, Ashe. And then you know your star. Ashe, oh, respect. Ashe. Be a present. You're a gift.
My love, what did I do to make you fall so far from me?
Thank you.